Well, some interesting readings today. As I was thinking about this, these readings came to me, and I couldn't help but wonder and think about how actions really convey a lot about what's going on inside your mind and your heart. For instance, as I'm speaking to you right now, if many of you start to do this and look at the ceiling, I know that I'm losing you. Let's not do that. But even the people we encounter in our daily lives, when we're out and we're talking, going through the cashier line, one big difference I noticed when I moved from New Jersey down to North Carolina. In New Jersey, when you went into the shopping center and you bought things, they wanted you out of there so fast, the cashier didn't even look at you. As you put things on, you weren't putting them on fast enough, and they're scanning them and putting them down, tossing them down, or someone's packing. They got your buggy loaded to get out of here. I get used to that. 3 years of that, and you tend to, it becomes commonplace. Then I went down to North Carolina, and I walked into a Piggly Wiggly or whatever was down there, and I had no idea who the people was. I just got into town, as they say. And I went to check out, and the woman said, "You're not from around here." I said, "No, I'm not. I just need to buy these things." "Well, where are you from?" "From outside of Pittsburgh." "Oh, isn't that interesting? What part of Pittsburgh?" You've got a line forming, lady. Don't you care? But I mean, but looking back, you can see that someone had a true care and concern. And we pick up on these things when we're out in the public, when we're out doing things. We know when people care. And we know when people don't care. I couldn't pick one reading today to preach on because they all go together so well. And all these readings focus on God's plan for us. That it's not always what we say, although that is important to spread the gospel, but it's also important how we act. Each one of these readings has something to add to that point. It's not always what we say. Sometimes it's also how we act. St. Francis of Assisi is credited for saying, "Always share the gospel, and when necessary, use words." That's been taken out of context many times within the last 5 or 10 years, in that it's, you never have to speak, and I'm not saying that at all. But I think he had a very good point. We do share the gospel in our actions. When people see how we treat them, whether they are a friend or whether they're not. Sometimes it's difficult to understand the righteous desires that the Lord has for our life. I mean, think of today's readings. I'll just pick one, the Romans reading. "Bless those that persecute you." You know, that's not the first thing that comes to mind. "Bless those that persecute you." Certainly not how a person like myself would treat someone who comes down hard on me. I mean, in this country, we really don't truly know what it means to be persecuted. But in many other countries, people are persecuted for their beliefs. Do you bless the government, the village, the civilian who is coming down and persecuting you and oppressing you for your beliefs? Do not take revenge. That's not the manly way, is it? We were brought up, come on, if someone picks on you, you go out. You get beat up, you come in, you're getting kicked right back out the door. Get out there and stick up for yourself. Go out there and take care and defend yourself. But the Word of God says, do not take revenge. It's interesting how a lot of people will quote from the Bible, an eye for an eye. Well, looking into that, that eye for an eye is not necessarily a commandment to go out and take exactly in revenge what someone had done to you. It's actually more of a cap on what kind of retaliation can be taken. Don't take more. Certainly when people think of revenge, they always think of one-upping. You hurt me by taking my arm, I'll take both your arms. You take one of my legs, I'll take both your legs. And the Word of God says, that's not how to do things. How about feed your enemy? That one is tough. Because when we have enemies, whether they're the person living next to us or the person down the street, the last thing we think about doing is helping them in any way, shape, or form. And many times we rejoice at the things that happen in our life that are bad for them. And God's word saying, that's not how to live your life. As a matter of fact, the nicer you are towards them, you'll be heaping ashes upon them. Let them continue to have evil in their heart. Let them continue to desire ill will against you and your family. I'm certainly not saying run out in the midst of danger and put yourself out in danger by taunting your neighbor or someone who dislikes you. But when they do things that are mean towards you, be nice. You're heaping ashes upon their heads. To repay them evil just continues the cycle. They'll just be thinking of something to do that's even worse back to you. The Father's request today in our reading asks us to give grace and mercy toward all. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. As Jesus is preaching this great sermon, there are many things that are going on in this passage. And I believe it is the hypocritical type of judging that was going on by the Pharisees. As we read further on down the gospel lesson, Jesus uses a parable. Don't talk about taking the speck out of someone else's eye when you've got a plank in your own eye. And I do believe this is the type of judging being referred to here. Don't judge other people. God bless you. Don't judge other people when you yourself aren't living up to the own standards that you're putting forth. Take the plank out of your own eye. In counseling, when we learned how to counsel biblically, this is the theme verse, this parable that Jesus tells. When two people come in and they say, we're not getting along, this isn't working out, the very first question we say is not, well, can you please tell me all the bad things that your partner's doing that's making you angry? The first question is, so what are you doing to make your partner angry? Certainly gives a different perspective on things, especially when most people walk into a counseling situation are more than prepared to tell all the reasons why their partner is messing everything up. As weeks go on, people begin to realize that everyone contributes to bad situations. Be kind. Forgive. Don't condemn. I think the church is one of the places we find condemnation happening quite frequently. We had last week Clay Huffman from Trinity Seminary preach a sermon on the prodigal son, the son that returns. And yet many times when we're in church and someone who has not been to church in years, maybe decades, when their heart has been stirred, when they wake up and they say, I'm doing it today, I'm going to church, and they walk through those doors, everyone looks at the person and says, what are you doing here? We should run like the father in that story and say, angels are rejoicing for you to be here today. Welcome. Come worship with us. Don't condemn. We do not know the hearts of men. So the only one who can truly send anyone to hell is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He sends them there because that's where they want to go. They're not interested in accepting Him as Savior. Let's leave the judgment and the condemnation to Jesus. That certainly doesn't mean we shouldn't rebuke people, point out the errors in their ways, but the Bible, certainly the New Testament as well as the Old, is full of examples of using God's Word to determine when someone is doing something wrong and correctly and gently instructing them that they should not do that. But when it comes to condemning someone and saying there's no hope for you, that is not ours. That is only the Lord's. Do not seek revenge. I don't know how many here watched the Hatfields and the McCoys. And I can tell by the smiles already that, it was a very popular show. Many of you did. But as you look back over that mini-series it was on, and so well done, it was historically very accurate. And it led from one person harming another or calling another a name to a second one from the other family killing someone in the McCoys. And then the McCoys came back and they killed someone in the Hatfields. And by the end of the movie, everyone's killing everybody. This is truly what revenge does. It eats us away. It causes us to go and try to one-up the other. There is never a time when revenge ends itself. It's up to us to say, I'm the bigger person. I forgive you. It's over. And if we're not willing to do that as Christians, we will get pulled into this evil mess time and time again. Don't seek revenge. If someone is truly evil, God will have the ultimate revenge. But as you're nice to someone, and they see, as a Christian, how you act, it will change their opinion of you. Everything happens in God's plan for a reason. We've heard that in sermons before. In our Old Testament reading today, think of the life that Joseph went through. Okay, we all have problems with our brothers and sisters, our siblings, right? I mean, they pick on us. That's just a part of growing up. Don't seek revenge, by the way. But Joseph was beaten. He was thrown into a pit, sold off into slavery. Now, again, let's go back to our little counseling analogy I used a bit ago. Don't think that Joseph is completely innocent of any of this here. He certainly was very proud as he walked around in his beautiful multicolored coat. And I think there was a little bit of arrogance that was thrown into this as well. But his brothers sought out revenge by beating him up, throwing him into a pit, and eventually selling him off into slavery. So many things happened. His brothers told their father that he was dead. And yet Joseph, through all this evil, when his brothers finally came back down to Egypt and knew that their brother was in charge, and certainly because of this whole revenge situation, thought that Joseph was going to come down hard on them, he said, "What you intended for evil, God intended for good." Certainly a different way to look at the evil and the things that people do to us, isn't it? No matter what happens in our lives, God uses both good and bad for His glory. You can look back certainly over many times when you've gone through very painful experiences. Certainly not things that we would like to go through again. Some things, I guess, are painful and we would like to go through them again. I'll throw one out for you. I can't claim to ever have birthed a child. But from what I've gathered, it's not the most pleasant experience in the world. And as a man, I probably don't even have the right to stand up here and talk about birthing a child. But as you're going through the labor pains, and they are painful, when the child finally comes out, the first thing the mother does is want to hold that child in her arms and cuddle it. Because the pain she just went through brought that child into this life. Could even take the life of Jesus Christ. He came down here and had a very short life, very short ministry, 3 years. And he went through a very painful crucifixion, willingly. And he did it because by doing so, even though evil was being brought upon him, by doing so, He was saving lives, our lives, the lives of all who looked to Him as their Lord and Savior. Certainly something that was horrible and excruciating. It's actually where the word excruciating comes from. It comes from the Greek word for crucifixion, excruciating. But He went through it willingly. And He died on a cross. Very painful, but He did it to save lives. Joseph said, "What you intended for evil, God intended for good to save lives." Think back over your painful, excruciating times. God uses them for good. Something came out of it. Someone's life was changed. There's no need to repay people evil for evil. Let good triumph over anything bad that comes into your life. Beware of your actions. Be aware of your actions as well. People look at them. And you can change lives by the things that you do. For the better or for the worse. If your actions are malice and contempt, condemnation and judgment, people stay away from you. And then you'll hear people say, "Yeah, that's how those Christians act." Give them something else. Show them kindness and mercy, compassion, grace, especially when they don't deserve it. Especially to your enemies. And then they'll look at you and say, "Wow, so that's how Christians act." And through your actions, you will represent God and Christ very well. May this word change your life. And may you go out and be kind to people today. Always share the gospel. And when necessary, use words. Amen.